Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, good morning. I'm Theresa Dent, Chief Executive of the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust, and I'd like to issue a warm welcome to you all to our members' conference. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. It is fantastic to see you all. We're very pleased to have some students here from the Royal Agricultural College and from Sparshot College. I'd also like to welcome the press. We have quite a lot of press here this morning. We're going to audio record the proceedings, and that will go on our website. And I know those of more modern amongst you are probably already busy tweeting. In particular, I would like to give a warm welcome to our chairman, Ian Coghill, who will be chairing proceedings today. When I first met him, he told me with a significant glint in his eye that he chased and shot everything that moved. It was a slightly startling revelation. It did cause me to take a step backwards. But I've since learned that by that he means everything of fur, feather and fin, or in these more modern times, everything of scent trail, feather or fin. He has been chairman for 3 years and has a passionate love of the countryside, a great depth of knowledge, and we've learnt an ability to make an irresistible case. So he's been of enormous value to us, and from me and from the staff and trustees, Ian, I'd like to thank you for all you do for us and the magnificent way in which you do it. Thank you. Now, I'm meant to be talking to you today about strategic direction. My father always used to say to me, Theresa, you won't get very far if you don't know where you're going. I suspect he was referring to my map reading abilities, but it does hold true of other things as well. But we will try not to make this dull. We will try not to make this too corporate. So how have we got here? Well, we're here because of you and your like. Probably your fathers and your grandfathers have supported us. We started in 1930. We were the game biologists employed by the Trust were the first people to unlock the mystery of declining farmland birds in the 1970s. A lot of people in this room contributed towards inventing agri-environment prescriptions in the 1980s. And you could say we came of age in 1980 when we became a registered charity. We changed our name in 2007, which was a bit of a Marmite moment for our members. There are probably very few members in this room who call us the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust. You probably all call us the Game Conservancy. It's like when your favourite niece gets married. It's at least 20 years before you can remember her new name. But to the outside world, we are the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust, and it certainly much better reflects the breadth of work that we do. So the fact that we are here and we've got to this point is a huge credit, I feel, to our rural support base, and I think it's often unrecognised how the rural community have supported this organisation over a very long time and have contributed willingly and generously to the building up of an enormous evidence base for the benefit of the countryside. So why are we here? Well, we aim for our vision, as one says nowadays, is a thriving countryside rich in game and wildlife. Now, the word thriving was picked with care. There is a huge amount of economic activity in the countryside. We grow our food and increasing amounts of fuel, for better or for worse. It's privately owned, and a lot of people have to make a living from it, and even our national parks are privately owned. So our aim is to fit our wildlife in around that economic land use, to find a way to engineer more wildlife into our farmed landscape. We have had four reasonably distinct phases of work. The original phase, sort of from about probably 1930 to 1970, was researching the ecology and biology of game. In the 70s, we broadened that considerably to other species, habitats, flora, and started to develop wildlife-friendly farming. In the 90s, we moved on to the wider biodiversity consequences of game management, the downstream benefits of the work that the gamekeeper and the shoot manager does for other wildlife. And in this decade, we've started to look at how the applicability of game conservation principles to wider species conservation, sustainable land management, in a sense responding to the call of the Lawton Report, which was published in 2010, how to make our environmental land for wildlife bigger, better, joined up, and how to get faster wildlife recovery. And what do we believe in? Well, our slogan, as you will all know, is conservation through wise use. Many of you will know that an awful lot of modern conservation thinking came from America. And this wise use philosophy of conservation was first articulated in the early 20th century. So really in the decade or two before our organisation was born. Wise use has always been, in a sense, pitched against nature preservation. That debate started, I believe, in America. And nature preservation was championed by John Muir, who was a very famous Scotsman and a tremendous conservationist. But it was interesting that even in those days, that debate was going on. So nature preservation was all about protecting nature from the hand of man, whereas the wise use movement believed in well-managed exploitation of natural resources. It is interesting to hear echoes of those original debates still played out in this country today, despite the fact that it started so long ago. Probably the most important conservation thinker from our point of view was Aldo Leopold, who was an American too, and was living and working with those original thinkers. The critical thing I feel about what he did is he took the debate from public lands in America, and of course their national parks are publicly owned and there is a huge amount of public land, onto private land. And he wrestled with how you fit wildlife alongside farming. And that's why I feel he is particularly relevant to our conservation philosophy, because that is primarily what we're trying to do. It's probably fair to say that he invented the concept of wildlife management. It did come straight from game management. He took game management and applied that to other wildlife. To him, they were fairly synonymous. So we feel that conservation through wise use is a very sensible philosophy. We feel that land managers are absolutely key to achieving good conservation in the countryside. We feel that wildlife management or husbandry, if you like, is perhaps a more helpful concept than simple species protection, though I wouldn't want anybody to go away thinking that was not implying that wildlife management is not there to protect wildlife. Of course it is. We also believe that the best conservation tends to be bottom-up. I should have told you what the fine was for letting your mobile phone go off, shouldn't I? But don't worry, we'll have a chat at lunchtime. It's probably a life membership or something. Which reminds me, if any of you here aren't members, there are plenty of recruiters, so feel free to join. So we do feel that the best conservation tends to be bottom-up with strong motivation. I think motivation is really important. In fact, I could classify it, good conservation, as perhaps needing three M's: motive, mindfulness, and money. Motive to me, is critically important, and we see it such a lot in the work that we do with farmers, landowners, gamekeepers and shoot managers. It so often gets muddled with incentive. To me, the two are completely different. Motive is why. Incentive is more. The two are very different. I've characterised the motives for conservation as three. They're money, fun and love. Very few people manage to make wildlife a paying proposition. Some do, and all credit to them if they can manage it. But money on the whole is a better incentive than it is a motive. Fun, to me, is shooting, fishing, all the things you do on the land you manage that means you enjoy it. But particularly country sports are probably the main fun motivator for conservation. And it's a very, very powerful motivation. The last one is love. And, you know, if you ask a farmer, what wildlife do you want on your farm? There isn't a farmer in the country who's going to say none. Of course they want wildlife, and of course they love that wildlife. Sometimes you have to do a little bit of work to unlock that, because farmers are, of course, very good businessmen, and they're not going to be foolish businessmen. But if you can bring out their girly side, it's very impressive what they can do. And I'm all for bringing out a bit of girly side when it comes to farmers and wildlife. It's quite impressive what you can do. So let me just talk you through these ideas a little bit more. This is a landscape. We all have a landscape, and we're all, if we're lucky enough, we're privileged enough to be involved in looking after that landscape, we are all motivated to do the best we can with it. But then we need to start getting into the mindfulness, and the bottom up, because you really have to get right down into that landscape to see what needs to be done. And that's why the land managers and the farmers and the gamekeepers are so critically important to conservation, because you're the ones on the land getting this work done. So your hedges and your field margins are incredibly important. How you do that, the mindfulness about not driving your truck up them in the nesting seasons, all of that is incredibly important. Being mindful about your grey partridge, making sure, or any of your birds, making sure they've got what they need. They've got somewhere to nest, somewhere to live, enough to eat, every day of the year enough to eat. All of that care and husbandry and mindfulness is incredibly important. You have to think of the scale of these tiny chicks. That grey partridge chick is probably no bigger than that. And you have to have everything at its feet if you are going to help that tiny chick to survive. So that's what I mean by the mindfulness, so really thinking about it every day. And that's what he's looking for, a sawfly. So motive, mindfulness, and yes, some money. Farmers do need to be helped to fund the provision of these public goods. So that's incredibly important. But to me, it is the motive and mindfulness that actually comes first. So in summary, because nobody's allowed to overrun today, and therefore I have to finish first, our aim is a thriving countryside rich in game and wildlife, wildlife alongside economic land use. Our approach is conservation through wise use. It is wildlife management, it's not nature preservation. There is a lot, I think, to learn from applying the principles of game management to wider species recovery. Our delivery mechanism is firmly through people on the ground. We are blessed in this country with the most amazing wildlife charities, and we have Mike Clark here today, who is chief executive of one of the very best, the RSPB, and they do fantastic work. We must be the envy of the world, I suspect. But at the end of the day, the work on the vast majority of our land, which is privately owned, gets done by people like you. And that's our call, to ask you to do more, to do it that little bit better, to think even harder about your motive and your mindfulness. We understand motive and we would ask everybody to embrace it. I don't think it matters what the motive is, but the motive is important and so powerful. And if the motive is country sports, that's fine. Then I think everybody should embrace that. And we would strongly encourage that mindfulness, that intention to detail. And we would acknowledge that this does need money and it needs funding and support to produce those public benefits. Chairman, thank you very much.